And turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This morning in our study of the harmony of the Gospels, the particular incident that we're going to study only appears here in the Gospel of Luke. So it's going to make us kind of easy. You can watch, go use your sheet. But I do want to review something with you before we go on to Luke 19. But let's pray and then we'll look to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we are extremely thankful for all that you do in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to speak to us through your Holy Scriptures. Help us to have good ears to hear today and feet to obey, to heed your will and your ways. For in Jesus we pray, amen. All right, let's just quickly review in Luke 18, just to refresh our minds, in verses 18 through 27, we just saw the Lord heal a blind man. They're coming into Jericho, maybe new Jericho, having left old Jericho, but they're right in that vicinity of Jericho. He's going to heal this one. Today, we're going to note that he is going to heal another one. One's physical blindness and this one's spiritual blindness. But let's read verses 41 through 43 of Luke chapter 18 as introduction, saying, "What will thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received the sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. All right, now that's our setting. So not too far removed from this incident, we read now in Luke 19, the first question I ask you on your sheet is this: where was Jesus? And we read these words: "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." So we're still in that same vicinity. That's why I'm saying to you that these two incidents are not very far removed from one another. Now, what man was there? According to verse 2, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." Now, we're going to be talking about a story today that's pretty familiar to all of us. You know, we're raised singing a song concerning Zacchaeus. A wee little man was he, but he climbed up into the sycamore tree to see what he could see or something like that anyway. But look at the latter part of verse 2. How is Zacchaeus described? "Which was the chief among the publicans." And how else is he described? "He was rich." Okay. Now, I mentioned there that he's the head. He's the head of all the tax collectors. Remember, that's what publican means, tax collectors. He's the head of the tax collectors in this region for the Roman government. Then I ask you this question: what have you heard about such individuals? Because in your time of reading and studying and so forth, you've heard about the publicans, the tax gatherers. And what have you heard about the tax? Nobody likes, hey, how many likes the tax collector today? Nobody likes the tax collector. But why wouldn't they like these particular tax collectors? Because often, they were crooked. Most of them were crooked, skimming some profit off the top. So they were not merciful. They were not kind. They were, they were very dogs, all right? And they were not liked at all. So just kind of painting a little picture of this individual, yet remember that he's also described as rich. Because this is going to be important, because not too far removed from this, we saw a rich man come to the Lord. And remember what the Lord said about that rich man? He says, what law do I got to keep? And God, he told him the laws. Oh, I've done all that. And then he said, well, remember now, give away what you got and come follow me. And we're told that he couldn't do it. All right. That's in that passage where the Lord says, well, you know what? It's harder for a rich man to get saved than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But then he gives those word of encouragement. But with God, all things are possible. So keep that thought in your mind, because now we're dealing with a rich man, all right? Now, what did Zacchaeus seek to do, according to verse 3? Very first part says this. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, what do you think that means, who he was? Got any guesses as to why Zacchaeus was out to seek Jesus? Maybe at this point you don't know, but you might want to give a guess as we read on. Maybe you'll gather more information. But at this point, what might you think? Well, okay, he's heard of this prophet. What else might he have heard? That he could what? Heal. That he could heal. Now, we're not told. Yeah, stretch him up. I know. Yeah, all right. But he wanted to see Jesus. And we've talked about this before. A lot of people, want to see Jesus. And they have their own, if you will, selfish motives for doing so. At this point, we don't know that God was drawing him, moving him towards the Lord. We don't know that for certain. We just see that he wants to see Jesus, who he was, all right? Now, look at the latter part of verse 3. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who he was, and he could not for the press. And it gives us another little statement. Because he was of little of stature. Now, I said, okay, on the bottom of your first page, would you guess he's closer to 5 foot or 6 foot? 4 foot. I only gave you between 5 and 6. So, all right, he's probably closer to 5 foot, all right? He wants to see, but because of the press, here he is. You can almost see him trying to get through the crowd, and everybody wants, he's not the only one who wants to see Jesus. He cannot make his way because of his small stature. Now, look at your next page. What did Zacchaeus do to get a look at Jesus? We read, and he ran before, he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he, that is Jesus, was to pass that way. So he's thinking, right? I can't get to him. He's over there. I can't get to him. But I see which direction he's heading in. So around he goes, gets ahead of him, finds this tree that he has to pass by. It's called a sycamore tree. And I give you some thoughts. Sycamore tree can grow in that place up to 30, 40 feet. So it can grow to quite a height now. Did he go to the top of it? I doubt it. He didn't have to go to the top of it. He just wanted to go high enough so he could look down and see who this one was that all the people were clamoring around and following. Who was this one? And I say to you, it almost seems like he's acting like a little what? Like a little kid, like a little child. Who is this? Who is that? I can't see. So he runs, climbs up into a tree. Now, because do you think of an adult going to climb up in trees? Unless you're Wally, and that was your living. But it's almost like he's acting like a child. And I was thinking about that. What had Jesus, not too long before this time, had taught about children? He said what? Suffer them, permit them to come unto me. In fact, he said, you need to have what kind of faith? You need to have childlike faith to enter into the kingdom of God. So here we see it's almost like this one is acting like a child, climbing this tree, wants to see Jesus. It's almost like he has this childlike faith. Now, who came by where Zacchaeus was sitting? Oh, guess what? And when Jesus came to the place, Well, what did Jesus do and say to Zacchaeus? He looked up. He saw him. And he said unto him, now listen to this, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, what jumps out at you from what Jesus said to Zacchaeus? Oh, yes, he calls him by name. He knew he was there. So, okay, what divine power does Jesus have? He's omniscient. He knows this one by name, Zacchaeus. What else strikes you about this verse? Yeah, he's probably ordained. What indicates that he's been ordained unto salvation? Wanted to see him. It's even stronger than what? What's he say here? I must abide. Well, why must he abide? Jesus came to do the will of his Father. And if his Father had ordained this one to be saved, he must abide in his house. For this is going to be the day of salvation for Zacchaeus. What you see is here's God, the Father's drawing Zacchaeus. He's putting into his heart a strong desire. Now, others had the desire, but there's more going on here, as evidenced by the fact that he's saying, Zacchaeus, now, if someone was to come along and then call you by name, aren't you just a little curious about, who are you? When did I meet you? But he doesn't say anything. Let's see what he does, all right? How did Zacchaeus respond to the words of Jesus? And he made haste. He came down, received him. How? Joyfully. Joyfully. So we see what's going on in this man's life. What God is doing in his life. Yes.
Zacchaeus went out of his way to see Jesus.
Yes.
He didn't just watch him pass by. He made a point to see him.
Yes, he made a point to see him. And again, another evidence of God is at work. Now, I said, what does his response indicate to you? Let's go back, if you can, with me. You don't have to go very far. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And I want to read a few verses to you, okay? Reading Luke 9, verses 1 through 5. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing of your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and hence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. All right, now just flip over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, look at verses 7 through 11. Commission of the 70, he says this. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor's worthy of his hire. Go not from the house to house. And into whosoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we will wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So he's taught his apostles, he's taught his disciples, that when they were to go enter in, they should go into the house that would, what? Receive them. And if they didn't receive him, dust off the or shake off the dust of their place and move on. What we see here is that this one, Zacchaeus, how has he received the Lord? Joyfully. He made haste. I mean, he came down. He received him. Now, how did the others respond to Jesus going to the home of Zacchaeus? Look at verse 7. And when they, we'll talk about the they here in a minute, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Okay, so what do we know about publicans? And what did the people think about publicans? They perceived them to be sinners. All right. And they're saying, whoa, look at this. Look where he's going. Now, who would you guess that they are? At least it would include the they. Any guess who the they might be? The Sadducees, Pharisees, the religious leaders, because we know some were still following him, all right? I want you to see something here. Look at Luke chapter 15. Trying to keep you right in Luke and thinking about this. Because watch this. Then, verse 1, then drew near unto him all publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the publicans and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's why it's a pretty strong indication that there were some Pharisees and scribes, and they were saying, look at this man eating with sinners. Now, it's interesting what happens in Luke's account. What follows is the parable of the lost sheep. And what did the shepherd do? He went out to find that lost sheep, all right? And now, but as we turn back to Luke 19, next question. What did Zacchaeus do and say? Here's what we read. And Zacchaeus, he stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, I give you the aspect, I restore, it's in the present tense, means I'm going to keep on restoring. If I've done wrong, I'm going to make it right. And you know, if you go back to the Old Testament, if you steal, at least in some instances, you had to pay back fourfold. Sometimes it was fivefold. But he said, he's saying, I'm going to obey the law, and if I've taken something, I'm not only going to give that back, I'm going to give back fourfold. And that's that's what we need to learn in our, that we incarcerate people. But they're never, very seldom are they made to pay back. And that's why a man should be, when they've been incarcerated, should be put to work. And the labor should be paid for his labor. And those money should be back to the one that they've stolen from, the one that they've robbed from. That is a biblical manner whereby you wield out justice and judgment. And that would help eliminate the spirit of vengeance or feeling, that you've been unjustly treated, that you get back not only what you was taken from you, but then fourfold. If these people who are now are, because I just had this happen to me, are now doing the internet, taking your, stealing your credit card and trying to buy merchandise, off your credit card, because one just did $1,200 on mine, and then they tried to do $4,900 at Lowe's, and I had my card. They had the number of my card, but they stopped the one for $49. So thank God for that. But $1,200 was at No, 1,200 was Lowe's. 4,900 was at, what's that electrical, the electrical place where they sell computers and, what is it? Best Buy. Yeah, that's it. So, but look, if that when they catch those individuals, if they have stolen $1,200, they're made to pay back fourfold. I guarantee you, you'll see a drop in all of this credit theft. It's a deterrent. Don't, you know, to put them in, let them watch TV all day long. Hello? What is that about? Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, nourishing food. You got to not, you know, don't be too fattening or anything. You know, keep them lean and mean and strong. Give them, you got to have them out there exercising, building their muscles up. You know, the way to build, you know, but anyway, I don't know why I'm getting onto that. I just get, but, you know, justice needs to be in accordance with the Word of God. And he's saying, I'll pay back fourfold. So what spirit do you see that is oozing out of this man? God is dealing with this man. He's given this man the spirit of what? Repentance. He's given him a spirit of repentance. And let's go over here to sheet number 3. We've got to move here a little bit. So I ask you, hey, what gifts from God do you think Zacchaeus may have received? Well, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 speaks about the gift of faith. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26 speaks about the gift of repentance. God had given this man faith. This God had given this man repentance. He is nigh unto salvation. What did Zacchaeus do that the rich man did not do? Well, let me just quickly review verse 23 back in Luke chapter 18. What didn't he do? And it reads this way. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And that rich man walked away. He walked away. But what did this Zacchaeus do that the rich man did not do? He gave, bearing witness that he had the spirit of repentance, that he was giving, he was returning. Now, let's see what Jesus says to him in verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, that might not make a lot of sense to you. But the next phrase says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man, as I mentioned here on your sheet, was Jesus' favorite way of referring to himself. And I also mentioned this, Zacchaeus was a lost sheep of Israel who Jesus came to save. And look back with me, Luke 15, just keep you here in Luke for right now. Verses 4 through 6 says this. Primarily, the Lord came to save and minister to the Jews. Now, he would also minister to Gentiles, but I want you to see his calling. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth on his shoulder, he's rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, I know why I put down Matthew 15, because in Matthew 15, the same account, he says this. Okay, I knew I had to, there was a reason I had that verse down. Verse 24, and he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And, you know, that's where, that was the Lord's primary ministry, was to the lost sheep of Israel. Now later on, Paul's calling will be not only to the Jews, but because of their rejection, he'll be out to the Gentiles. Well, all right, so now 10 verses we read here. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Did these teach us anything about the triune God? Sure they did. Zacchaeus! Our God is what? He's omniscient. What else does it teach about our God? He is what? What we've seen all along. He's compassionate. He's caring. He's loving. Even unto the worst of what? Even unto the worst of sinners. Did this man deserve it? No. He's a publican. And yet we see God wielding out his mercy in his life. What else? Did we learn anything else about God? Jesus, he came to save, not only to seek, but to save the lost, all right? Did we learn anything about mankind? Mankind can be curious about the Lord, can't they? You know, I want to see who this one is. Anything else? Mankind can think themselves to be. He's eating with sinners. Mankind can seek to be very what? Judgmental. Very proud. Very arrogant. Oh my good. Look at who he's eating with. Well, who needed the Lord? Those who were well or those who were sick? Those who thought themselves to be righteous or those who knew themselves to be unrighteous? The other thing we learn about mankind is that, you know, when one truly repents, it'll always be evidenced by fruits of repentance. There'll be fruits. There'll be fruits. All right. Learned a little bit about God. Learned a little bit about mankind. So how might these verses change our behavior? Why would you be more thankful after you read these verses? I purpose to be more thankful knowing that God. What did he do? I must abide in your house. I must abide. I must come to your house. I must abide. Yeah. Yeah, right. Thank God we didn't have to climb a tree. But, you know, we ought to purpose to be thankful that God came looking for us. Remember, the Bible says, no man seeketh God. No, not one. What happens is God comes looking for us. Nah, my goodness, he's up in a tree. Maybe he could walk right by and never seen him. You ever walk by something that was up there and you didn't see it? Well, sure, yeah. But this wasn't going to escape the Lord, because I must needs abide in your house. When you and I were saved, it was because he must abide in us and we in him, because God had ordained it. I must abide. And we ought to be thankful. When we read something like this, we ought to be mindful. Now, maybe we were not, well, I'm not as bad as that publican. And then maybe we were even worse than that publican. But the picture is that here he is, this despised person. God came looking for him. I purpose to demonstrate I'm truly sorry for my sin of, you can name it, by. I purpose to demonstrate I'm truly sorry for my sin of, and you name it, by making what? Hey, if I've stole, I'll pay back fourfold. If I'm going to demonstrate, from reading this, I'm going to demonstrate I'm truly sorry of my sin by There's some kind of work that you should be doing, something that you could show the one that you hurt or harmed that you are truly sorry. It's not enough for you to say, well, if by some chance I hurt you, please forgive me. Okay, yeah, well, that's not too much of a, you know, look, it's the aspect I God's convicting me, I sinned against you by, and here are the steps I'm going to take to correct it. Now, there's repentance. And we read something like this, and we understand, listen, if God is truly working in my heart, it'll be evidenced by my works of repentance. All right, somebody, anybody else want to put a P.S. on today's message or ask a question concerning these 10 verses and our story on Zacchaeus? All right. Heavenly Father, we continue to just marvel and give thanks and praise, for as we're taking our journey towards Jerusalem, of all that you are trying to teach your disciples, teach those who are listening, yes, even teach the Pharisees and Sadducees. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us ears not only to hear your truth, but to heed them. Now we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.